This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Holy cow, we're back. I can't believe it. And on a Friday morning, no less, usually when we pre-tape the show, I kayfabe it. Kayfabe is the illusion that everything you see is real. It's a professional wrestling term. It means the sadistic Marine drill sergeant really is a sadistic Marine drill sergeant. The Iranian guy really is an Iranian who goes home and beats his kids. I usually bullshit it, but there's no bullshitting it today. It's Friday morning. It's early. I'm fucked up. We're out last night celebrating the cramps at the Bowery Electric Show. I think I got home. The sun was coming up when I finally hit the sheets, but it could not stop me from getting here to be with my very favorite person in the whole world, Lisa Carver. Lisa, great author, fantastic artist, important performance artist, rock and roller, fanzine girl, riot girl, and my hero.
Aw.
Yeah, you are my hero.
How many listeners do you have?
Right now, our listener is probably very excited. we're taping it on a Friday morning. So what you're missing is the awkward date table here in front of the window. Usually on a brunch Sunday, there are two people like staring at their cell phones, pretending they didn't sleep with each other at that table. Things are usually a little bit more up Sunday afternoon. Well, by the time this broadcasts, you will have dozens, if not millions.
Yeah. And do they? How many of them know what you look like?
Why don't you... Jesus, I'm usually better than I do this morning, I'm sure.
You look really special this morning.
Thank you.
I haven't seen your eyes yet. I want to see them.
All right, you ready? Can you handle it? Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Good eyes for radio.
They're beautiful.
Red, white, and blue.
They are.
Red, white, and blue, just like they were made over 200 years ago.
You look like you probably sounded last night.
Hey, last night was a gas. With one of my other great friends from the great state of New Hampshire, John Spencer, was there. And I always laugh, my triumvirate of New Hampshire friends, you and John and Gigi Allen.
And the Shags,
but I don't know the Shags personally. Mm-hmm. And those other two are great friends of mine, or Gigi was. So this morning, on the way out of the house, and by doing homework, I went to the Lisa Carver section of my bookshelf, and I have many bookshelves in my house, but this is my bedroom bookshelf, so you know, okay, this is like the one that stays closest to the bed for bedtime reading, and I grabbed Money's Nothing, which is actually a harrowing book. I don't know why I keep it next to my bed, because it's fucking plainly terrifying. 25 Lives, which is your new book, and I love it. It is this sort of like... Studs Terkel, but coming out like fully sideways, not head on, and it's shocking, it's mesmerizing, it's a reminder of like how weird people really fucking are. And then I just picked up on Walden Pond because it was right next to the Lisa Carver books, and you live kind of out there, pretty far out there, so I thought maybe there was something relevant.
I've been to his little cabin where he wrote, and it's a little room in the woods, and it's just a room, and there's a one chair and one sort of cot-like thing.
I heard he was kind of an asshole, Walden. He's kind of like an antisocial jerk.
Yeah, he didn't want to have that cabin. the townspeople drove him out.
So what are you working on? You have a new book coming out constantly. You've been writing up a storm lately after...
I know. I have no life. I just write all the time. Yeah, so in a few days, I hope November 1st, when this airs, or whenever this airs, I hope that the Sadie Wolf and Friends will be out. I can pick it up from the printer.
Sadie Wolf and Friends. Sadie and Wolf are your kids.
Yeah.
Who are amazing kids. One of them is severely challenged. I'm talking about Sadie, of course, being
having to live with us,
being a cheerleader and having to deal with a crazy mom. Hmm. No, you're such a great mom. I mean, your kids are so special. Tell for people who don't know. How do you explain your household?
people don't ask. I don't know, but it was Sadie's like a mean. You know, she's like a mean girl. She's very popular, and, you know, she dresses well, so she's frightening.
She's a cheer girl.
She's 13, yeah.
And Wolf, who's an artist?
Yes, he is an artist, and he's a farm guy, farm man, and, that's what he does.
up there in the live free or die state. But, no, you've been turning out these books like crazy, and you've been avoiding traditional publishing. I mean, you know how much I admire you. I always encourage you to go down some sort of route where you can make some money. You should be rich, Lisa.
Yeah, I'll never go back. I've decided. I listened to you, but then I didn't listen to you. Yeah, I don't want to.
We did a book together. It was pretty.
No, I enjoyed that. That's because you were my editor, though, but that was the end. That was the last one. I'll never do it again.
The book we did together was about Yoko Ono. Mm-hmm. It was reconsidering Yoko Ono, reaching out with no hands.
Yes.
Reconsidering Yoko Ono was actually the subtitle of the book. Did you ever make it over to MoMA to see the Yoko Ono show? Did they call you? I know you were quoted, and the book was referenced in stories about it. I was just walking by down the street. I saw an old poster for the Yoko Ono show that had not been taken down. He's fucking Yoko. I remember a couple of years ago, before I had the idea, I go up to the Museum of Modern Art, and you know they have the giant atrium when you come in the new MoMA, and they've had so many wonderful installations there, whether they're large scale paintings or real like sculptures and some performance pieces that go there. And in this case, there was just a microphone and a mimeograph piece of paper. I mean, literally Xeroxed. It just said "Scream." And this was Yoko, and I said, man, that was like someone's desk drawer. You know, and they just, like, whatever painting was supposed to come in this week didn't come in. So someone said, wait, I got that Yoko thing. It's in my desk. We'll put this up. But I got on the microphone and I screamed. I totally got into it. All right. Better than looking at a de Kooning and doing nothing, right?
Do it now.
So, and now you're writing fiction.
Again. Hey, do it now.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Well, you always got to do it now.
No, scream.
No, it's a little early. Well, I was screaming last night at the Cramps gig.
So, yeah, I brought one of the 25 livers. Elizabeth.
Yeah, Elizabeth. You're one of 25 lives?
Yes, Elizabeth Bland.
Okay, well, what Elizabeth Bland, is your life about that makes you... I mean, the people in this book are pretty unique and special. I mean, they're like bank robbers and, you know, oligarchs. I mean, it's a very bizarre group of people. I mean, trust fund babies, military people, just, I mean, even the normal people in this book, it's like, you know, it's like blue velvet. It's like when you realize that nothing's what it appears to be.
I tried to find a normal person. I thought it would make a nice contrast, and they all turned out to be wild freaks. I couldn't find one.
what's your brand of freak?
Well, I used to be a dominatrix. And ran a dungeon, but that's not even your...
Come on! Yeah. Brooklyn, yeah, who hasn't done that? Yeah.
I can't figure out exactly what Lisa wanted, I mean, what interested her about me. I mean, usually people focus on that, you know, something kind of flashy, but she seemed to focus on these bizarre, mundane things that... Like the roach and the pizza.
Yeah, you for a while you were homeless, but it seemed like you had this really glamorous life, and it was everything was beautiful, and you also I think you had a mental illness that you didn't want to treat. There was a few of them in there. Yeah. I had a mental illness that just said, you know, it's okay. I like myself like this, and so that was. I think that was it.
They
can't remember.
They tried to cure me.
Well, let me read a few of the first lines of some of these chapters just to give our listener an idea of what's in store if they were to buy your book. And I encourage, I mean, your books are also good. You're such a good writer. I'm so awe of you. You have, from one writer to another, I mean, you have seem to have this freedom in your writing that I can't possibly ever achieve. I mean, it's just wonderful. And I think maybe you're right because you self-publish and you don't give a fuck. And I've got like this... this sort of bureaucracy of agents and publishers, you know, I deal with. And on the one level, it works because it keeps the lights on. On the other hand, it's like, I'm just in awe of you. You write what you want, when you want. You publish it when you want it.
Yeah, they all demand it. Like every, there's so many people all demanding something. And sometimes a few of them demand different things. And, you know.
It's not even what they want. It's what they don't want, which is worse.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't probably know. I want to write this book about outer space. Seriously, I really do. I mean, she's like, great. She's like, great. If your next book's a bestseller, you can write whatever the fuck you want. Till then, no one cares.
Yeah.
And it's like, so what am I going to do? Not write my book about outer space? I have very important things to say about the Soviet space program of the early 1960s relevant to Star Trek, you know?
Yeah, I don't
think
you're...
I'll tell you after the show, Elizabeth.
Like, you're never going to make money writing. Who makes money writing? So you might as well have fun and be poor. And
well, Stephen King, which we talked about last week, was a topic of our show. And he says that if you are a writer and someone has given you a check and you put it in the bank and didn't bounce and used it to pay the power company, I consider you a writer of great talent. You know, listen, this is Brooklyn. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people running around here with like writer tattooed on their arm in big letters.
Really?
Oh, you know, and their MFA tattooed on the other because everybody's in some creative writing program. And, oh my God, I got published in some, you know, literary this or that. And, you know, my boyfriend's in the Paris Review. And it's wonderful. God bless all of them. They're such a lovely bunch of kids playing in that big, wonderful sandbox. But it's not how you keep the lights on. But you know, this, you're a professional. I mean, you put these books out. I know. I mean, you advertise on Facebook what your finances are.
Yeah, we're doing the countdown of when I can pick up from the printer, and I have this feeling that when I drive home today, there's going to be all this money waiting for me, which I haven't checked. So
I hope so. So how are we doing with 25 Lives? Have we sold 2,500 books or 5,000 books or whatever one needs to break even?
Yeah,
I know
no.
some of these people. these people are your Facebook friends. There's a bunch of fucking weirdos in this book.
That's my ex-husband.
I'm a little one-eyed retard with hearing aids, a drain on taxpayer dollars. I have a trust fund and I've never had a job. I found that I had cancer when I went to the emergency room on an unrelated issue. I had been drinking myself to death and started to convulse. I was kidnapped. Okay, that's I mean, you know, that's one of the great leads. I mean, I have done armed robbery. What about you? What's your criminal past?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I sold drugs and bodies. Everybody did in the late 80s.
You're working on some fiction now compared to... I mean, this is like Studs Terkel, and money is nothing. I mean, it's harrowing. It's this relationship you had with a part of it anyway, but with a very rich man who turns out not to be the most honest guy in the world.
Go figure.
Go figure. Yeah. And where is he in your life right now? Because I keep seeing him popping up on Facebook, or is that a different dishonest
guy? No, that's him. Yeah, I just, I think I just got engaged again.
Like, seriously?
For like the seventh time. Are you going to yell at me?
No.
Okay. I haven't said anything to anyone because I know they're all going to yell at me.
Why would I yell at Lisa?
Oh, look at you. You're yelling at me with your face.
That's what unconditional...
Oh my God, this is horrible.
This is what unconditional love looks like at 10 o'clock in the morning after being up all night.
Oh no, you're yelling at me right now.
Are my eyes yelling?
No.
Okay.
Put your sunglasses really back up.
So you
get yelled at.
So after reading this book, and this guy is basically like an architect of the Iraq War, the fall of Wall Street, I can't quite figure it out. You know, I mean, I know the Gulf Stream must be very attractive, but after all of this, all things you've written, you think you got engaged again?
Yeah, I think I got engaged again. Yeah.
And when will you know? How do you not know?
I never know. This will be like the seventh time, so who knows?
The same guy?
Yeah.
How does?
Don't look at me that way.
I worry about Sadie. Yeah.
No one needs to worry about Sadie about anything. You didn't finish reading those New York
That's
magazine
right,
quotes.
The New York magazine. I got as far. I mean, I meant to read it as far as when she was like wearing black on the first day of school. The funeral of her happiness. The first day of school. And I related. Oh my God. Tears are like yes. This is one reason I think I don't have kids, because I couldn't send – high school was so miserable for me, junior high school, that I don't know that I could send someone I loved through that experience. I just don't, you know, I mean, high school was like prison for children.
She doesn't have to go. I told her I would homeschool her. But those are her two choices. She gets to stay home with me or go to the funeral of her happiness. And she chose the funeral of her happiness.
Can she stay home with you and dress like a cheerleader?
Yeah, she can do whatever she wants.
I love the part. I mean, I've known you for a long time. And you are, I mean, you're an artist. You're an outlaw. Your daughter's like a cheer girl, and you go to cheer camp and you help her sell candy.
Yeah.
That's not the Lisa Carver, I sort of pictured, you know, maybe when I met you 20 years ago.
I was a cheerleader, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really? Legit?
What'd you say?
Legit cheerleader?
Yes, I did it. The wave is here with a mighty cheer. To welcome you from far and near.
All right, Liz, you got that. We're going to be using that as a bumper on the show from now on and forever. So tell us about where you live and what the hell goes on up there.
Were you a cheerleader, Elizabeth?
No, I wasn't.
You were the only girl. Every girl's been a cheerleader. Like, how about you in the studio, Liz?
I was kind of shy.
Liz, were you a cheerleader? Sarah, you're in there too. You were a cheerleader? They're all like.
I don't think any of us were cheerleaders in here. I'm sorry.
Are you all New Yorkers? And you guys,
look, Sarah's turn. Any of you guys go to your prom?
Yes. We all went to prom.
You all went to prom?
We all promenaded.
No, I didn't go to prom.
I was in the woods getting wasted.
Yeah, I was too. I regret it though. Don't you wish we went?
I wish I went with you.
I would have gone with you.
When you put it like that, oh, we would have been, are you kidding? Me and you at the prom, I mean, it would have been just the side of Carrie. So, where do you live? You live in Freedomville.
New Hampshire.
Live free or die.
Yeah.
And you've been there for a while, and how's that working out?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But you're from New Hampshire. You've been there, right?
For a while, yeah. Yeah. At least I could drive around there. Oh, my God, this morning, this crazy driving.
Oh, my God. Well, you drove to New Jersey last night.
Yeah. I got bloodshot eyes from driving. That never happened to me before in my life. Just from, because I was staring at the road so hard, I like burst blood vessels in my eyes. And then a man peed, right? We were waiting to go onto a ramp to try to get out of New Jersey. And everyone was just sitting there. And I guess this guy got bored and he just went. Got out of his car and 10 feet from me, just pulled it out. Didn't even turn.
It's probably
away.
Chris Christie, I'm guessing. So you're lecturing at Rutgers University?
Yeah.
And you were on the subject of?
Well, actually, I didn't lecture. I had everyone do something like the 25 Lives things where everyone had to interview, all the students had to be paired up with their opposite and interview them and then write a first-person account of what they had just talked about. So like the one that hates animals and wants them all to die interviewed the, you know, rescuer, and then he had to read in a cute voice about how cuddly they are and how much he loves to.
And how did this experiment
let them
go?
Lick them. It was really funny.
I've been to your like automated painting classes and
yeah. No,
your stuff's great. So how did it go? You have a lot of good turnout and some people making friends, unexpected friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was hilarious for me. And that's what's important is it's making me laugh.
You live in fucking New Hampshire. Everything's gotta be funny once you leave New Hampshire.
Yeah. That explains it. I was wondering why they were so brilliant. Like every single one of them was really brilliant. I thought I'll give you all A pluses. And now I realize when you say that, I was just happy to get away from home.
Well, Rutgers is legit. So I love your book, 25 Lives. I mean, I found it captivating. We've talked about Studs Terkel before. We both admire, but this is just, like I said, it's just shocking. You know, you walk around and everybody's got a story. I mean, everybody has a past. You know, everybody's got, you know, oddball sister, weird mother. I mean, life is never what it looks like at first glance. And I hope you're going to write another 25 Lives.
50 Lives.
Well, 25 Lives Part 2.
50. Yeah.
You learned that math from your maybe fiance.
You are really cute.
You come on, Faye. You want the Gulfstream? You're into the jet. What about you? But this guy, you tear him apart, and money's nothing.
I know.
Which is like the greatest, like anti-capitalist. Like it's almost like anti-romance, anti-capitalist.
It is.
You know, book.
It's so romantic.
It's so romantic. The guy's a psychopath, Lisa.
Yes, he is a psychopath.
And that's what you're drawn to.
No, he's not a businessman anymore. He gave it up. He's out in the desert. Prepping.
Oh. I gave up my Gulfstream for the desert before the government came and took it all away. I was looking. I couldn't believe I couldn't find my favorite of your recent books, though, is How Not to Write. And I think I was looking for it on my shelf.
You're the only one. People hate that book passionately.
Do they? Why?
I don't know. I think it's cute. I don't know.
It's not cute. Yeah. Okay. There's nothing cute about that book. That book is cute like heroin. Okay. I mean, it is like.
Thank you.
It is. But it is. But it's very powerful stuff, especially if you're a writer. I mean, to follow that book, if you actually did the exercises. I mean, it just challenges you in every possible way.
Did you do the exercises?
I did some of them, and I thought about them all.
I didn't get the one where you gave yourself welts. I didn't. Nobody's given me.
Well, the deus, I'm a Jew. I get beaten up enough. I don't need to, people stealing my lunch money every day. I don't need to beat myself up.
Well, somebody's got to.
I feel like as a writer, that's my job. I do it anyway. You know, I mean.
But I just want to see.
Flagellating.
I just want to see a picture.
Isn't that the Scarlet Letter? Like the priest? I remember reading the Scarlet Letter when I was in high school, and I was like, this book sucks. So what are we talking about? There's a priest locking himself in a closet, whipping himself. I'm like, eighth grade. It's like fucked up shit. You know? This is like cool.
They always have these ones where the mass killer turns out to be flagellating himself, is that the word? Yeah. So, I mean, why can't we? Like,
well, you can right now here for our audience.
I'll do it.
Are you doing it now? It's radio. You can kayfabe it. The same.
No,
as,
give me something.
Here, get yourself this copy of Walden Pond. And I was like, ow! Ow!
It feels good.
Oh! Well, let's just be glad I didn't bring like Crime and Punishment. You know?
Here, Elizabeth. I'm done.
But I love How Not to Write. I think it should be like, okay, here's your Strunken White. You know, here's Stephen King's on writing, and here's Lisa Carver's book. Now go.
It was
now
not go. Effective at all. If you're not, you didn't whip yourself, and now you're not beating yourself with Walden's Pun. I feel like a total failure.
Okay. Ow.
Oh, with a hangover. You're so dedicated. See, this is why you're such a great writer.
You guys have no idea.
You must be so sore right now.
Oh, man.
You're like sore
last night was brutal. I did the Crusher last night.
Yeah.
You know, and I put on the wrestling mask, and I mean, I'm getting to the audience, you know, do the hammerlock. You know the song, right?
Yeah, right?
And I'm getting to this guy's face. He's like dressed like a zombie, and I'm like leaping off the stage. And the guy's like 19 feet tall football zombie player, and I give him a big chest bump. I'm like, yeah. I said, that's right, you turkey neck. I'm going to get you in the ring. And the guy looked like I hurt his feelings. I was like,
turkey neck?
Later on, as I came up to me at the bar, he goes, dude, you almost broke my neck. I mean, I was giving away like 200 pounds. You know, I was attacking the guy. I figured I was least likely to actually hurt. He's like, dude, you almost broke my neck. I don't know what's going on. The punk rock world is much different than the one we grew up in.
No, you know, one of Yoko Ono's exercises for people is to bash your head against a wall.
Huh. Oh, well, somehow that makes sense.
Yeah. So,
Number nine. So what are you working on now, Lisa?
I'm working on Anything is Probable with Dame Darcy. She's doing the illustrations. And it's a combination of sci-fi and bad jokes.
It's be more specific because I've been...
No, that is exactly what it is. It's
tell me
these
the plot.
Little
tell our listener the plot.
There is no plot. There are little vignettes of weird little things like fortune tellers and just like one paragraph stories. They're sort of like, I don't know, maybe like what you used to get in the Cracker Jack boxes with the little cartoons, but they're little stories. And then there's jokes. There's like stand-up jokes.
I can't wait to get it.
Puns.
Oh, tell me a pun. It's early enough. I'm still fucked up enough. I might laugh. Go ahead.
I can't remember any. A dyslexic walks into a bra. I didn't make that up.
A dyslexic walks into a bra. Yeah. I like that. What's the agnostic dyslexic is someone who wonders if there really is a dog.
Oh. Wait, give me that book. I wonder.
Oh, puns. You are the gorilla of my dreams. That's it. That's all I got. That's it. It's Friday fucking morning. Pretending that it's Sunday afternoon. We're working hard here. But also, you're in New York Magazine this week with Conversations with Your Kids. We talked about and Sadie and... Wolf really does have the heart of an artist, and I'm a big fan of his too.
He's an innocent man.
He is.
I like that he likes rocks.
He loves rocks. Yeah,
he likes rocks.
We'll just leave it there. Okay,
I actually mailed him a part of an arrowhead from Alabama, and he
really digs the broken arrowhead.
Yeah, it's a broken arrowhead that I've found in the lake.
It's meaningful to him. No, he loves it.
No,
a lot.
He finds meaning in incredible things. I mean, he's a Christian soul. He thinks about outer space all the time.
He likes old things, found things.
Yeah, he's a pretty special cat.
Yeah,
and I can't imagine you doing it all because I mean, aside from like this insanity. So is the businessman? Is he ready to help you? You know, he's going to move in, take care of the family. He's going to be like, is it going to be like two is enough? Or
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what'll. We'll see. You're, he's out there in the desert building his stuff.
And so everybody should be – but this is a book too, though, the Sadie Wolf and Me or – what's it called?
Sadie Wolf and Friends.
Right. And this is also going to be in a print version where I can mail you 10 or 15 or 20 bucks and get a copy of it.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to get your books – and we haven't even mentioned like the Reserve of Riot Girl magazines, which are still hanging around, which started its own revolution –
there's not that many left of roller derbies. There's like...
So that's right, you punks.
30.
30, right. 30 of them left, so get your shit together and send Lisa some dough.
Yeah.
Like a lot of dough.
Yeah. So well,
how would someone do that?
You can... Well, I don't know. Are they friends with you and then they can friend me? Or?
Yeah, they should friend you. Find Lisa on Facebook.
And there's
Suck Dog. Because you're inevitably, I mean, charming and the quotes from Sadie and Wolf are amazing.
I am so charming.
You document your life more than, I mean, literally document your life. Not like, oh, look, here's a waffleite this morning. I mean, you know, here's the fucked up argument I had with the mailman today.
No, that's good.
With the mailman. Yeah. The mailman was a problem.
That's a running theme. But you could, if you just want the books and you don't want me, you can go on suckdog.net.
But what if we wanted the books and you?
Yeah, then you come find me.
up in the Lafrit or Die State. Wow. As ever, it has been the fastest half hour on the internet.
Oh, I'm so sad.
It's incredible. Are you sad? I'm going to take you out to lunch as soon as this restaurant opens. In like 3 hours from now, we're going to have lunch. Money's nothing. I mean, this book, like I said, it was like standing in a hurricane trying to read this book.
I love the word harrowing. That's the best word in the world.
It is harrowing. The book plainly scared the living shit out of me. For realsies, I can't believe Hollywood's not knocking on your door for this one.
Me neither.
I mean, really. 25 lives could easily be the next 25 weeks of my life with Netflix. How Not to Write could easily bring down a major university. Rutgers went okay. Last time you were here, it was a rough day for me. I had to put my cat down that morning.
Yeah.
Right. But I wanted to do the show. You know, the show must go on, and I love and admire you so much. I wasn't going to cancel our date to do the show. And then we went off to Bushwick. It was like that crazy place. It was like a storefront. You know, it was kind of like, you know, reminded me of the East Village 30 years ago, actually. You know, some kids had a storefront, and they had their band set up downstairs and upstairs. They kind of lived, you know, seven people kind of communally. And you had the automatic painting class that...
Yeah, had people paint each other's souls, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was very dark blue that this young woman took one look at me and she painted it. And I was in a bad place. It was a weird day. I was very happy to see you, but I just put my cat down, who I loved more than life itself. Manly, the world's strongest cat.
Yeah.
It was a tough day, and I was just kind of putting on my game face.
But she saw.
She saw it, and it's just this. And she said she had never painted before.
Wow.
And the texture and the tone, I mean, it was just this wave of emotion that came out of her because of your class. I have the painting. I mean, I still have it.
Oh, is it hanging up?
It's on my bookshelf at home. I look at it all the time.
Oh.
And you've been painting.
Yeah.
You've got this like side business painting. How could I not mention this? You can commission a painting from an original carver.
Yeah, a portrait of yourself your friend pets. A building.
And pets. An you've been doing pets. You've been doing dogs.
Yeah.
Liz, you should commission a portrait from Lisa Carver. If Liz, that's St. Elizabeth of the Booth, we call her, so it would have to be more of a religious painting. What would it set back, Liz? Maybe I'll get her one for Christmas.
I do naked, too.
Wait, you paint them naked or you paint naked subjects?
I'll paint them naked if you want, Liz.
I'll think about this.
I'm not afraid.
you are indeed fear and fearless. All right, everybody's got to find Lisa Carver. Find her on Facebook. Where else? Do you have any other? You know, is there lisacarver.com?
There's suckdog.net. I don't run it, but.
Suckdog.net, of course, because you're Lisa Suckdog in a previous life. And you should all find out what that's about. You should all know what roller derby is about. Get those last few issues. They're going fast. You have neither created nor destroyed Yoko Ono, but you gave it a good shot. That's a really that's a pretty good book, too, despite my involvement in it. But do get 25 lives. Money's this book is fucked up. I can't believe you're still with this guy.
I know. You're going to bother me about it all lunch long. I know it.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait.
And
that's the only reason I said yes.
And before we go, I'm going to hit myself one more time over the head with Walden Pond. All right. You're listening to Arts and Seizures on the Heritage Radio Network. Don't forget, we are member supported. So if you see a button that says give money, donate, be a member, ignore it and send your money to Lisa Carver. Buy one of her books because she's brilliant. Lisa, you're my hero. I'm so glad that
you're my hero,
here.
Mike.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for coming, Elizabeth. And we'll see you guys next week on Arts and Seizures.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.